We're connecting with Belfast and Martin O'Mueller. If you're there, Martin.
Well, most certainly here, Adrian. I hope things are well in New York. It's always great to be connected with you.
Well, what's the news? What's the news, Martin?
De Valera has new shoes. I think is what they used to sing in these parts. But I think, you know, I am reminded of the Martin Luther King quote, which I'm sure I will garble, but about the arc of justice, the arc of history being long, but bending towards justice, because 101 years after the state of Northern Ireland was established, as to use the term used by one of the prime ministers, as a Protestant Parliament for a Protestant people at Stormont, when there was a 66, two-thirds, one-third divide here between Unionists and Nationalists. 101 years later, we now have Sinn Féin as the biggest party, clearly with almost 30% of the vote, 29% of the vote. We have 250,000 votes, which is 68,000 more than their closest rival, the DUP, which represents, of course, the very staunch Unionist community. And the election came 41 years after the death of Bobby Sands, and he would have thought back then in those dark and troubled and divided and fractious times that 41 years later we not only have a peace process, but that one of the parties that was the architects of that peace process, that they now have emerged as the biggest party, and more importantly, in the political architecture we have here, that they will take on the title of First Minister, that Sinn Féin to Michelle O'Neill, that she will be the First Minister of Northern Ireland. That is truly a tipping point, I think, in our history, and for those of my parents' generation, unimaginable, and of course to their parents who were born into the nightmare of the new state of Northern Ireland, I mentioned before, Adrian, but this week, 100 years ago, my grandfather was shot, attacked by a gang of B-specials, off-duty police officers, raided his home in South Derry, wounded another brother, shot dead, a third brother. That's the state into which they were forced into, abandoned effectively by the new Free State. And that's the state in which my mother and father were reared in. My father was a sheet metal worker and often told the story of Marty's Foundry, the biggest factory in West Belfast. When he went to that factory to seek work, they just stopped him at the gate and said, "We don't employ Catholics." So when we reflect on the magnitude of what has happened, this earthquake, that's why we are, I don't want to say excited, because I think I'm a bit too old to be excited, but we're feel a great sense of achievement and vindication that we'll come peacefully, we'll come to this point, Adrian.
I want to ask you, Martin, about the reaction from the previously, you know, over the 100 years, the Unionist parties and the Unionists in Northern Ireland. Obviously the die has been cast, and now what can we expect, or what do you expect will happen with respect to the outcome of this election and the acceptance of the Unionist Party in Northern Ireland? Something new, but do you expect that there will be a level of cooperation as a result of the of this election?
Well, I think they will be. The DUP will be very reluctant partners at the table of government. And just before the election, their new leader basically collapsed the Stormont government by withdrawing his first minister from that executive. And they are saying that they're not going to go back until this issue of the Brexit is resolved. However, the reality is that the DUP and hardline unionism has been the architect of its own misery, in that the DUP was the only party here who supported Brexit. they lost the referendum on Brexit. A majority voted to stay within the European Union. But they went Ram's Dam ahead, insisted that the on the hardest form of Brexit. And of course, that meant that there has to be a border in the Irish Sea. So they a certain amount of, I think, coming to terms with the reality for unionism, because this has been coming for some time. They did lose the majority in Stormont. I was in Belfast City Council in 1997 when they lost the majority in the capital of Northern Ireland in 1997. And the reality since that period is that the parties that have been growing in strength in recent years have been the middle ground and nationalism. And each election we come to, there might be a little movement, little bit of a tide coming in and coming out. But inexorably, the tide is coming in. And since over the last 20 years, this advance of what we refer to as progressive politics, and that might be slightly different to what it would mean in America, but I mean people who think everybody should be treated with respect, everyone should have the dignity of their identity being respected, everyone should have a place at the table. That type of politics is getting stronger here every day, and the unionist politics of no are getting weaker. So what will unionism do? I think there will be a little bit of huffing and puffing, a little bit of sulking. But Adrian, there's nowhere to go in this society and in this state except back to the table and back to the executive. And if they don't, the DUP will be blamed for every problem we have here. And boy, we have a lot of problems with our health service, with the cost of fuel, the cost of living crisis. So it's my hope that the DUP, when they shake themselves down, that they will accept the fact. And it's a psychological shift for them to be the deputy first minister, even though it's co-equal. The deputy first minister enjoys all the rights and privileges and powers of first minister, but there's no doubt that symbolically having to accept that the Sinn Féin will have the title of first minister would be very difficult for the DUP. But, you know, we really need them to do what people want, which is get back in the government.
Well, the first item of importance, I would imagine, is that the Northern Ireland executive, the parties in Northern Ireland need to get back. And because it is has to be rather embarrassing to have spent all those decades leading up to the Good Friday Agreement, when in fact the Belfast Good Friday Agreement clearly pointed out not just the expectation, but the commitment to implement the agreement in the first place. And it would appear anyway that more often than we would like to acknowledge, if things are not going there, the Northern Ireland executive pull the rug out of it and kind of walk away from it. That was not the intent of the Good Friday Agreement, and yet, even leading up to the election here, we had the unionists saying, well, we won't re-establish a government in Northern Ireland unless we hammer out our differences on the protocol. First of all, what is the protocol, and why is it the thorn in the side?
Well, first of all, there's one other important statistic around this election which is important to reflect on. That is that the Alliance Party, which is the middle ground here, had their best election since their formation 50 years ago, and not least with transfers from the SDLP and Sinn Féin. And you now will see this large pro-peace, pro-reconciliation, progressive, pro-dignity for all, pro-Irish language, middle-of-the-road party which is very much against Brexit and for the mitigations that which are trying to lessen the damage of Brexit. So the two big currencies, certainly the media attention will be on the Sinn Féin having the First Minister position, and rightly so. But watch out for the fact of a new generation of young people who really want to make the executive work and make politics work and want to do things differently, and who are neutral on the constitutional question, who are saying we will vote for United Ireland or to stay with the United Kingdom, depending on the best argument that can be made. So why that's important is because the DUP is increasingly in a minority. All the unionist parties together only have 40% of the vote. Now, reflect on where Northern Ireland was when the state was established 101 years ago. And what unionism has done over the last, certainly 30 years, in trying to deal with the peace process is to retreat and retreat and retreat, and the paint themselves into a corner. They've tried to stop and stall progress, but the demographics are against them. They have lost majority in Stormont. They've lost some of the crucial areas they used to control. There's only one unionist representative in Westminster from Belfast, which would have been incredible many years ago. And the new census figures that are out will show the biggest number of Catholics ever living in the north of Ireland. In fact, it may be bigger than the number of Protestants. And that shouldn't translate into political allegiance, but often here it's a very good indicator. So when the DUP insisted that Boris Johnson and co. do the hardest possible Brexit, Europe said, okay, but there can't be a border on the island of Ireland. And the deal that the British agreed with Europe, if there can't be, if isn't a border on the island of Ireland, then there has to be a border in the Irish Sea, so that the Britain is no longer in the single market, it's no longer in the customs union, no longer in the European Union, but all of Ireland remains in large part in the customs union and the single market. That, of course, has boosted our economy. The benefits of that, what they call the Northern Ireland Protocol, have been uniformly positive. Trade between South and North is up 60%. Trade between North and South is up 55%. Business is doing so well, they can't get enough labour. There's no one in the business community who wants to do away with the Northern Ireland Protocol. So the DUP, having created this mess, the DUP want the British to quash the agreement they made with the European Union. And the British government has been unhelpful in recent years, Adrian. Promises they made on the past, they've broken promises in the Irish language. And I don't know what they're going to do this time, but they need to find a way with the European Union, of course, to mitigate any side effects which are detrimental to our community, our economy, because of the Northern Ireland Protocol, because of Brexit. But, you know, there's only two places that could be a border. There could be one back in the island of Ireland, or could be in the Irish Sea, and Europe is absolutely resolved that they won't abandon the peace process by putting a border back on the island of Ireland.
Martin, obviously, there are other questions when this is resolved, and hopefully the Northern Ireland Assembly, the executive, will be back and running shortly. Implications with the massive showing for the nationalist community, if you take Sinn Féin and the Alliance Party. It does beg the question, though, as to the next election in the Free State in Ireland, and the role of Sinn Féin, which again maybe was somewhat considered to be not a threat up until recently. What do you expect? And of course, you spent a lifetime yourself as a promoter of the peaceful and the road to a peaceful Northern Ireland in Sinn Féin, and in fact, you as Lord Mayor of Belfast. The So will Southern Ireland, will the government in Southern Ireland become a bit nervous as a result of this in terms of many in Southern Ireland wouldn't consider Sinn Féin as having, much hand act or part in the throughout the island of Ireland. And what about the reality of, as we go forth, between North and the South in Ireland, and should we expect, acceptance of Sinn Féin as being a viable leading party throughout Ireland?
Well, thank you for your comments, and I mean, it is important to point out to our Irish American audience that the vote that Sinn Féin got was on a platform which would be quite different. For example, I entered Belfast City Hall in 1987. I was put out by the police for speaking Irish after 10 minutes. But even the platform of Sinn Féin in that time was very different to the platform which they fought this election. So in this election, Sinn Féin said, we're going to fight to get the health service fixed. We want to vote to get the health service fixed. We want to do more for children with autism. We want to help the mental health crisis. So it's very important that, and this may be difficult for our Irish American audience to get their head around, but in this election, Sinn Féin said, this isn't about a united Ireland. Yes, we want a united Ireland. Yes, we want a referendum. We want to make sure that we do the groundwork beforehand so that it's done orderly, that we know what we're voting for, we know what the options are. So it was a remarkable election in that way, because I know many of my friends in the US would be thinking back to those elections of the 80s and the 90s with Gerry Adams being a huge vote in West Belfast. In fact, the vote for Sinn Féin came from all over the show, and I spent some time the night of the election over where the 1% in Belfast lived, the wealthiest people of Belfast, of the South Belfast, and they were coming out and saying to me, good luck. They were going in and they were voting for Sinn Féin, something they probably never did before in their lives, for two reasons. One, to have the symbolic first ministership in the hands of a nationalist, but also was saying to unionism, look, you're getting harder and harder. You're doing things we don't want to see. You're refusing to share power. You want to force us out of Europe. So the Sinn Féin that stood today, I think, will do very well in the South if their message is one of standing with ordinary people at this really difficult time. You know how difficult it is across the Western world. So that message does resonate. One poll here before the election said that Sinn Féin would take 35% of every young person's vote. Every person below 25 in the north of Ireland would vote for Sinn Féin. Now, that wasn't just among nationalists, that overall, one third of the people. And those are the sort of figures that in the Republic of Ireland, Sinn Féin is getting in polling as well. Really strong, right across the board, especially in working class communities. And I suspect they're going to have a good election, if the next election 2025 or before that. And I do think you will see the parties starting to, they have to face the reality. Most of the southern parties were up here camped into the SDLP. They've had their worst election in the 50 years since they were established. And, they need
that's to... That's under 10%.
Yeah, and most of the southern politics I meet are still in this 1980s kick about, don't speak to Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin are somehow inherently bad people. That is so 1980s or so 1990s, if I may say. So I think it's going well, but it is about partnership politics. I know of our friends from America come over there, I'd be surprised to see how welcoming, generous, peace-building many of the parties here are, not just Sinn Féin, and that is certainly the way forward. Either, and if things have moved on considerably here, and that's who people will vote for. They want to vote for peacemakers.
Now, the economy, that's indeed one aspect of society, and indeed, over the 24 years since the Good Friday Belfast Agreement. Can you give us an evaluation of the progress that has been made with the economy, and where does America play a role now in terms of linking Northern Ireland with the United States in business? And God knows you ought to know, since you have been a leader in the economic front of making that happen. What do you think?
Well, America is front and center, and here's an interesting one, Adrian. Once Sinn Féin get the biggest number of seats, which they have now received, they get to pick the first ministry. I think they will pick economy. There's never been a Sinn Féin economy minister, so you will see, I think, a different set of economic policies coming in, including trying to direct more investment into the city of Derry, trying to direct more investment into not only West Belfast, but also areas of Belfast that have a large Protestant or Unionist population, which haven't really had any good green, what they call blue-collar or green-collar jobs since the shipyard and so on closed down. So that's one to watch out for, because if Sinn Féin take economy, they then become the face of the Northern Ireland jobs push, if you wish, in the US. They also then have responsibility for tourism Ireland, for tourism mm-hmm. Northern Ireland, for trade Ireland. So the key partner in all of this is America. The US Consul General in Belfast, Paul Moran, a New Yorker of color who really has hit the ground running here. He recently convened a gathering in Belfast City Hall, and he told the business community, and he said, under the Brexit protocol, you now are a special economic zone with advantages no other region in Europe has. And he basically was saying, stop moaning, start selling what you have as a product, which is incredibly talented young people. And of course, the US, as your major international foreign direct investor, that they will do more if you focus on this positive message of a trust.
We just had, they've now returned, but led by the Ancient Order of Hibernians, a delegation, Ancient Order of Hibernians, and indeed the ladies' Ancient Order of Hibernians, had a very successful trip to Ireland, both north and south. And, they brought back a story, that the reality of the matter is that, I know you've pointed out some of the advantages there of the economy, particularly for Northern Ireland, but also they brought the message and discussed something that is bigger to many than all of this, and that is the future of the U.S. Economic trade with Britain, that very clearly sets out, listen, if you keep, if you try to renegotiate something like that, guess what? We are not going to support a trade agreement between America and Britain. So take that one off the table right now. Has that sunk in as a message, or is it considered by some to be an idle threat?
I have to say that I think part of the reason for this positive Sinn Féin vote is the realization that Irish America, that the American government is standing four square behind the peacemakers in this current situation. I have never seen in my 40 years in political life, I have never seen Irish America so united as they are around the defense of the Good Friday Agreement. I want to commend the Ancient Order of Hibernians for these missions. They've given an awful lot of succor and support and solace, in particular to families who were wronged by the British state. I think the Spring Hill massacre in West Belfast, the Ballymurphy massacre family. These are people who no one listened to, and the ALH always came over and listened to the story and said, we will try and get you justice. And of course last year the Ballymurphy families did get a measure of justice when the truth was told about the killing. So the ALH work is very important, but this solid approach of Irish America saying to the British government, stop trying to rack the Good Friday Agreement. If you want a trade deal, you need to honour your Brexit promises. This is absolutely a great boon to us, to fill up the peace process, and long may it continue. And I think Richie Neal, who of course is a saint in these parts, I think he may be coming
absolutely,
in.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that as a guarantor of the Good Friday Agreement and as some people who are standing behind the peace, we are so fortunate to have that extra player on the pitch, if you wish, which is Irish America. So I want to commend the ALH for their frequent visits, but the work of the Irish American politicians in Capitol Hill is fantastic, and that goes right up to the present.
Would the current leadership of the British government, you've mentioned Boris Johnson there, would that be considered to be the major fly in the ointment, and that perhaps if there was a change in government in Britain, that all this nitpicking and blockades with respect to the Good Friday Agreement, that maybe some of those would be eased, or is that a stretch?
Well, it's a very difficult government to deal with because they have their own measure of chaos around many, many issues, and Boris Johnson is a little bit beleaguered. But it is extraordinary that he authorised his ministers to say we were going to breach the agreement we've just signed with the EU, that they're now saying that when we signed this agreement, we didn't mean it. Their behaviour is bizarre in terms of international diplomacy. Will there be an alternative to Boris Johnson? I don't know. There's talk that he may have to step down shortly if these COVID revelations about parties continue. My view is that as long as we stay committed, the Irish America, the American government, our parties here that are pro-peace, but the missing part of the jigsaw for me is the main parties in the Republic of Ireland, who have tried to look the other way. They sort of hoped this would go away, that people wouldn't talk about the new society we're trying to build in North Ireland and across the island, and this desire that we have for a peaceful transition to United Ireland. And we really need, in my view, the big parties in Dublin to say, okay, what do we need to do to prepare? What will the health service look like? What will the education sector look like? How can it work? Because their main focus to date has been trying to stop the growth of Sinn Féin, and that policy has failed. So it'd be fantastic if they, 100 years after partition, were to say, okay, in theory we are United Ireland parties, let's see what we can do. And I think if they were to say that with the imprimatur of a government, you would get parties like Alliance Party saying, okay, let's explore this. What will this look like? And see, can we move, because there will be a referendum in our unity here, but let's not do it in a chaotic fashion. Let's have the support of all the parties to say this is what it will mean, and then we can cast our vote like everyone else. So that's, for me, the only missing part of a jigsaw puzzle which is coming together to continue this journey we're on.
Let's hope that the result of this election will be accepted. We have we had a little bit of our own history here, which we're not bragging about in terms of challenging the outcome of an election. But is it fair to expect and to say that, the Nationalist Party, Sinn Féin Party, is beyond reproach in terms of it's not close? So would you say now getting the other parties together, getting the Northern Ireland executive up and running is something that can't afford to drag on for another while.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, the alternative is unthinkable, that we continue in this limbo, that we let ourselves down, we let the people down. There are a number of things that are going very positively for us over recent years, and we need to build on that. I just want to say one thing for your listeners. You know, they're talking now about a NESDA for American visitors who come into Dublin, mm-hmm. who want to come up to Belfast. Amazingly, the DUP voted for that. So that's some of the craziness of this Brexit stance. And I had people from American couples last week on a Friday who were in Dublin and said, I'm going to take a run up the road to the Titanic Centre. So that's an issue we need to resolve, so that when you come to this island,
and that one needs to be resolved, Martin. That one needs to be resolved now. It's got to be, not to have that hanging over, because, tourism is going to play a big role and always has for the island of Ireland. And messing with that is at best counterproductive. So hopefully that will be high on the agenda with what will be now a new government in Northern Ireland after 101 years, Sinn Féin, and coming into its own, and your own role over 40 years is indeed laudable. We want to wish you luck and thank you for bringing us right up to the minute news from Belfast in what has to be, historically, sometimes we treat that word loosely, but this is historic and it will change the face of Northern Ireland. So thank you for bringing us.
Yeah, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Deanna, and good luck with everything you're involved in. I hope to see you in New York soon. Take care. Slán go fóin.
Slán. From Northern Ireland, friends from